is what we believe. My son-in-law last week did a good job on some things. I want to talk about or just show you what we believe this morning. I got a list here. If you ever want a copy of this, I'll give it to you a copy of it, of what we believe, doctrines, what we believe. And we talked about eternal security. We talked about the Bible. We talked about, but we do also, we believe in the voluntary fall of man. Man fell in this, you know, he actually, Adam sinned, Eve sinned, got deceived, but Adam willfully sinned. And take your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 3. And, you know, I say this, I tell people, they say, well, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe all that stuff. I said, man, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does the Bible. You really have to have faith, real faith, a lot of faith, to believe that something came out of nothing. Now, only God can make something out of nothing. And for an explosion to happen, I asked one guy, I was at the University of Maryland, and I was out at some Grateful Dead concert, was passing out tracks. How many of y'all have ever heard of Grateful Dead? What a name. You ever think about the names of them, these groups, man? The Grateful Dead. I saw on a football game the other night, they had that Good Charlotte. What a thing. Two guys named Good Charlotte. And they're no.
We did a wedding with them.
Yeah, we did a wedding. They were at the wedding. Bunch of little whatever they are. And Jason Garner was in their group at one time, and he got out. And the funny thing about it, them guys went to Christian school.
Yeah.
They went to Jerry Falwell's, Liberty University. And they come out, and they were playing on the stage, they're dancing around and all that stuff. A bunch of freaks. Man. And they were saved. And Jason come here, and Jason used to have all these, and we all did. Before you were saved, you did all like the world. You did like the world. And Jason was saved, though, but Jason had all the earrings and all that stuff in his face, and I would make fun of him, mess with him. And you know, we did what the world does, and the world always does. You know, there's a trend in the world, and they always say the trends every 20 years comes right back. The trends, you ever notice in clothing, the trend comes back. The hairstyles come back. Farrah Fawcett came in, and back in the, 70s, 80s, and everybody started having the Farrah Fawcett hair and all that stuff. And you got these trends. The world goes by trends, and they always say, well, y'all Christians, you're a bunch of, you know, you're brainwashed, you're following this, you know, the Bible, and you're just a bunch of idiots because you believe the Bible and you follow the Bible. But see, the Bible makes individuals.
That's right, amen.
It doesn't make cookie cutter type people.
Amen.
And thank God for that. I mean, the Lord lets you be an individual. Jesus Christ had 12 disciples, and all of them were different. And one of them was the devil. So God doesn't do the cookie cutter type stuff, but he wants you to be more like Christ. And one day we will be like him. We will be exactly like him. But in Genesis, you think about this. In Genesis, the fall of man, God put man, people always talk about the environment. I grew up in D.C. I grew up around bad environment, and my environment was bad, and drugs and all that stuff. But when I got saved, I mean, I fell a couple of times. I did fall. But, I kept begging God to give me the strength. And the only way I got my strength is through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And I got strength to overcome stuff. And more I got in the Bible, the more stronger I got. And so, but they always talk about the environment. Here's Adam and Eve. They were put in a perfect environment.
Right.
Somebody put a question out the other day. Did Adam and Eve have any children, or did they consummate their marriage before the fall? That's a good question. Did they consummate their marriage before the fall? I don't think they did. I don't think they consummated the marriage. There wasn't no drive in them to do that. They were male and female, but they didn't have the drive. Today it's just a sexual drive in the world. They're pushing sex night and day. Money first. Number one gods is money. Number one in the world. You gotta have money. Everybody's pushing money. Look at this lottery stuff. People are going nuts. It's, you know, and then what happens is you start thinking about it. You start dreaming about it. $1 billion. And a half a billion dollars in the other one. And you start thinking, man, what could I do? I'd give it to you, Lord. I would give you all, liar. And, you know, God, you said, does God is interested in that? Not really.
Hey.
The Bible says the love of money, not money. There's nothing wrong with having some money. There's nothing wrong with being wise. Now, Jessie was just saying she's saving for her retirement. That's good. You ought to have a future. You ought to have a future goal to be able to save some money. Because most of us, we get $1,000 in our pocket. We think we're rich, man. Woo, well, I got money. And you'll blow it within.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You buy lawnmowers and all that stuff. The reason I said that, I bought a lawnmower the other day. But you'll think that you've arrived. But Adam and Eve, I don't believe they consummated their marriage until after the fall, because that's when the Lord told Eve, he said, now that you fell, he said, you're going to have, in childbearing, you're going to have pain. So that means before the fall, you say, how long were they in the garden before the fall? I don't think it was that long. I think Adam was all right by himself. But then he started naming animals. A woman said to a preacher one time, maybe it was Dr. Rubin or somebody, he said to her, he was preaching about, you know, women and all this stuff. And a woman came up and said, where would you men be without us women? Where would you men be? And he responded, back in the garden, fellowship with God. But what happened was, in Genesis 3, this is the account of the fall of man. And I believe the account, and I believe what God said. Now, all the scenario, you can't imagine what was going on. I mean, what Adam had. We've never been in a place with no sin. Never been in a place where you didn't have to worry about eating,
yeah.
Even though they did eat. That's heaven's going to be like that. And they had, he said, of all the fruit of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. He said, but that one tree. Just one condition. You know what? Whenever you put one condition on somebody, that seems like that's the one they concentrate on. That's the one condition they concentrate on. God gives us conditions in the Word of God. And this one condition, Eve kept walking by. And I believe this, when Eve walked by the tree, the serpent was at the tree, was around the tree, and I believe he went, hey, psst, come over and talk to me. And she probably wasn't fearful. She walked over. And here's another thing. In the garden, you know, the serpent, the Lord told the serpent, he said, because you did this, you're gonna be on your belly and eat the dust of the ground. That means the serpent was walking.
Yeah.
And then you find in the Bible, you say, do you believe animals talk? Well, in the Bible, God had a donkey that talked, and the serpent talked. You say in the millennium, you believe the animals talk? The Bible says that in the millennium is a 1,000-year reign when Jesus Christ is reigning. The Bible says the lion and the lamb is going to lay down together, and there won't be no threat of eating meat. And they didn't have to eat meat in the garden. They weren't, you know. And then the Bible tells you in Romans chapter 1 that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. Now, take your Bible, look in Romans 1. Hold your place in Genesis 3. I'm chasing the rabbit now because I'm hungry. No, I don't eat rabbit. Look at Romans 1. And this is good for you to see this. Because the Bible tells you the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. And the reason why is it's for our redemption. It's for our redemption. Now, it says this, I'm thinking of Romans 8. Yeah, Romans 8. Yeah, I'm looking at that. No, that's Romans 8. Yeah, Romans 8. Here it is. It says in Romans 8, look at verse 18. It says this, I like that old English, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All the animals are waiting. They're waiting. Somebody was telling me the other day that birds, he said, you ever notice birds at 12 o'clock start singing? I said, I never noticed that. They said, but the birds at 12 o'clock start singing. I said, you're not kidding, right? And they said, no, just notice. The birds start tweeting and singing at 12 o'clock. Yeah, they get hungry, but think about that. Man, the animals are singing praises to God. And it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. The animals, somehow they inside them knew that creation, God made them. But by reason of him that have subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the what? Bondage of corruption. And into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So when the rapture takes place, we come back in the millennium, the Bible says the creature is going to be delivered. They're going to be delivered. Everybody loves their animals, you know. I've seen people kill you over their dog, kill you over, you know, and my sister will, kill you over her dogs. And but the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. It says, for the whole, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. So inside you, if you're saved, there's a groaning inside you. It's hard to understand. And you go, man, and it's a desire inside you. The new man inside you desires for the Lord to come. The old man is saying, no, we don't want that. We don't want that. And the new man's saying, the more you feed that new man, the more that new man is getting stronger and stronger, the more that new man's groaning inside you saying, yeah, Lord, come on. I don't have no desire, no nothing here that I really need. Lord, come back. Now, but our desires are to be his desires and seeing people saved. Your loved ones, your family, we ought to want to see them saved. Why? Because they're dead. They're dead. If they're not saved, they're dead. Good as dead. And they need to get saved. We'll look back to Genesis. We'll look in Genesis chapter 3. The devil's negotiating, and the way you need to notice this too, the way the devil negotiated with Eve is the way he negotiates with us. He tempts us with the lust of the flesh. That's the biggest thing right there, the lust of the flesh. So the devil knows that if he uses our eyes to get you lusting, that's why you see all the commercials. That's why you go down to the billboards. If you see something, you want it. And, you know, you see a hamburger, you know, they always show you the McDonald's hamburgers look so big and everything. You go there and it's only like that bag. They show you the Whopper. Here's the Whopper. And it's only, you know, it's getting smaller and smaller all the time. But they show you that and you start, man, I'd like to have a Whopper. I want this. And it's just the lust of the flesh. You're constantly seeing stuff. You see this new car. Cody just showed me this Hellcat, Dodge Hellcat. They're fast cars. He was driving one the other day, yesterday or Friday, past weekend. And, man, you get in something like that, you go, man, I want this. Woo, got power.
I don't want to get in hell.
You don't want no hell, a Hellcat. And you think, man, look at the power in the thing. You want that. Everything, you know, we want things. It's just in us. But then you get to the point where you'll do whatever it takes to get it. That's who. It says, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Look at here. It says this, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, did she not have a bunch of trees around her? She had everything she wanted. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Another passage tells us, it says Adam willingly. Because Adam was willing to die with her than to live without her. He remembers that time being alone. He didn't want to be alone. And that's why the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. And the Bible says this, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And it says they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Here Adam had a relationship with God. He walked through the garden, walking with God, talking to him, and fellowshipping with God. And then all of a sudden, he's hiding from God. You know what Christians do when they backslide?
Yeah.
First thing, you hide. You hide from other Christians. You know, you don't want nobody asking, are you going to come to church? Are you been praying? Have you, hey, who you been witnessing? Amen. You don't want people to ask you that. You hide from it. You run from it. It's just, it's in our DNA. And it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord, Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Here's the trees that God said you can eat. So they hide behind them. And they're ones they should have been eating from. And the Lord God called on Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And first thing the man does, he plays the blame game.
Right.
Ain't my fault. Ain't my fault. I didn't. It was, you know, it was her. That's the first thing. That's, you know, it's easy for us. I like to blame my wife for things. And you know, that's what we do. Men do that. Blame the wife. Blame blah, 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 and blame God. And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to me to be with me, so it's God's fault.
Yes.
And she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what hast thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between the woman. This verse right here is a very important verse. This is a verse on the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming. This right here. This verse is a prophecy about the Lord coming, God's going to, his seed coming. So what it shows you, look what it says. Yeah, I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. He's talking to the serpent. So does the serpent have a seed? Yes, he does. He can pass the seed down. And the Bible talks about Cain. He was of that wicked one. They were twins. Cain was of the wicked one. Satan has a seed, and he can pass it down. So when the Antichrist, years ago, they came out with a movie called Rosemary's Baby, years ago. You know what it was about? It was about the Antichrist being born to a girl and the Antichrist coming. And he's of the seed of Satan. And he's called the son of perdition. He's the son of perdition. So you say, people ask me, so you believe the Antichrist is alive right now? Yep. I believe he's alive. I believe the world's preparing for him. The situation's got to get in place for the Antichrist to show up. So what he's going to be, you know, he's going to be a Syrian, part Syrian. Isn't it funny that Hillary and Obama, everybody said, we need to bring the Syrians over here.
Yeah.
And all these men are in England right now. They just showed a bunch of things where all these Syrians raping all these English women.
Right.
Raping all over London, all over everywhere, raping them. But the Bible says that the Antichrist would be a part Jew, according to Daniel, and part Syrian. Now, we're talking about the fall of man. We're trying to get into that, but we're getting into prophecy. But the prophecy of verse 15 talks about a seed. So God's seed. And when the Bible talks about the tares and the wheat, the Lord said, don't tear it, not until the rapture, the tares and the wheat, so they're going to have seed and the tares of Satan, the children that are not saved, the people that are of the wicked one, or the men that are dead in sin. And right now, the biggest fad on TV is the walking dead, zombies. The world's going crazy over zombies. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So you think, well, I don't believe the Lord's coming back right now in my time. I believe the Lord's coming back in my lifetime. My lifetime. Yeah, I'm 62 years old. I believe it'd be in the next 20 years or sooner. Ready or not?
Amen.
When we see Christ. So you wonder why the battle is on. The battle's raging. Most Christians are oblivious to it, man. They're oblivious to the battle. They don't realize the battle is raging. And they think, why is all this stuff happening to me? Now, I know why this stuff happened to my sister. I found a voodoo dollar in her house. No, I'm joking. There was a voodoo dollar in the yard. But I tell you what, some of that stuff is connected to it. My father-in-law had a statue of Buddha in his yard. My father-in-law shot himself in the front yard. He had a statue of Buddha. I think there's unclean spirits connected with statues. I think you ought to get any statues or anything that's connected with Satan out of your house.
Yeah, the big glass box statues.
Yeah, the big glass box. That's, I can't argue with it. Can't argue. Yes, sis.
We've been under attack for the past week, and I've had night terrors. I haven't had night terrors in a long time. Luke hasn't had night terrors in a long time. Until, we lived in Churchill. He didn't sleep in his bedroom because I just had that feeling, so I put him in ours. And so he had a night terror when he was in his room, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to put him in there anymore. We'll just keep him in ours. He's still small enough to know, and he's fine. We've been staying at Ricky's house. And we're in a room that was surrounded with Catholic stuff. And I kept looking at this one picture. It was bothering me so bad. And so two nights ago, Luke stands up in the middle of the floor, screaming to the top of his lungs. I can't touch him. He crawls under the table. He almost tries to bite me. And we take him outside, put him in the RV, and he stops crying. Everything's fine. So I said, we got to get these pictures and everything out of his room. We take everything out and put it in the garage. Last night was the first night we
played. Play some Christian music on the radio. Pray with him before you go to bed. Get away from that stuff. Stuff is connected, folks.
Yeah.
Pictures, statues. You say, do you still have the statue of Buddha? I got the statue of Buddha. We're waiting for the right time to shoot it.
Amen.
I'm going to shoot it. We shot a lot of the other things that he had, statues and angels and all that stuff. We get rid of that junk. Because that stuff is connected with that stuff, man. And we don't mess with it. But anyway, talking about we get chasing rabbits again. Go back to verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. There's division between them. And between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that's a prophecy of Jesus Christ, and also the Lord coming back and bruising Satan's head. And the Bible tells you, somebody find me that verse, it's in Peter, I think it is, we're talking about bruising Satan's head. Somebody find me that verse. It's in the New Testament. We didn't even get to what we were going to talk about. I got chasing other rabbits. I thought it was Peter. Or maybe it says a bruise. He'll be under your feet. Anyway, that just crossed my mind. But it says, I'll put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. So, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So a woman, whenever a woman brings forth a child, she goes through the valley of shadow of death. She goes down into a valley and brings that child forth. And it says, and conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So if there was no sin in the garden, she would have had children without any sorrow, any pain. Maybe that's it. Yeah, Romans 16. There you go. That sounds like it right. That sounds right. Romans 16. Romans 16 and verse 20. It says, and God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That was the verse I think about. But it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And on to the woman, I guess, that's the prophecy of Jesus Christ and the Satan being bruised. And on to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And this day and time, in the 60s, and it came out, no man's going to tell me what to do. No man's going to rule over me. But I realized this. If I was a woman, I wouldn't want to be under an idiot. I wouldn't want to be under a fool. And that's why it's important that your children, your daughters, marry a guy that's not an idiot. Somebody that's saved. Somebody that's going to do right. If he's going to be the, you know what? I'm the leader of my home.
Amen.
I'm the head of the house. And when I'm not there, my wife is the head of the house. But when I'm at the house, I'm the head of the house. I don't rule over my wife to the point where I go, you listen to me. And I, you know, snap my fingers and all that stuff. That guy's the idiot that does that. My wife and I serve God together.
Amen.
We work together. And we don't have to be, I don't have to remind her I'm in charge. I've never said to my wife, I'm in charge, you listen to me. You hear me? I'm in charge. I don't do that. So you don't have to do that. If you're a good man and you're doing the right thing and you're leading your family, you never have to do that. And I've seen some guys do that. And I laughed. I thought it was funny. The guy didn't have enough confidence. His wife didn't have enough confidence in him.
That's it. Amen.
And then a woman marries a guy. That's why it's important when you marry, make sure you're marrying the guy that you're willing to listen to.
Amen.
You're willing to follow.
Amen.
So anyway, we didn't even touch what we're supposed to, but we got into the other thing. Let's stop right there. Sorry.